Please take your Bibles, if you would, and find Jeremiah chapter 27. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 12 as we kind of come into the conclusion of our series and hope in the future for the book of Jeremiah. Not that we've discussed everything that could be discussed in Jeremiah in 4 weeks, but we're getting a sampling, and hopefully thank you for being here and being a part of. And we're glad to see you today. We appreciate it. I guess because we did not have midweek activities or services, that it seems like a long time since we've been together, but good to see you. Just last week we were here, but we're glad to see you today. We appreciate it. We're always glad to have guests. Sometimes you may think you're the only one who is a guest, but you're not. We have guests every Sunday, and we're glad to see you today. Appreciate you coming and being a part. Starting today, we back again. We had last semester, but have an overflow room. So a shout out to those folks in the overflow room. I hear they had a pretty good attendance in the first service, and so if you're in the overflow room, would you wave? They waved. You didn't see them, but I promise you, they were waving at you, and they are there. So we're glad, and let me encourage you. We always in January, particularly, we have a book that we usually look at, kind of set the pace for the rest of the year, that we're people of the book. And next Sunday, February 2nd, we will begin another 100 days of Bible reading. We've done this most semesters, last two or three, 4 years, I guess. And so we encourage you to be a part of that. Some of those are found in the kiosk if you want to get a head start, or those will be on the website this week. And you can take a look at that, but we'll have it one for everyone. We just encourage you to be reading God's Word. You can read the plan that we have. You can read your own plan. It would be okay. And we just want you reading God's Word. Sometimes we do the 100 days. We find that there are things that we just hear discussed, or questions, and all reading the same thing, have a special part to that. So we encourage you maybe to be a part. So today, Jeremiah chapter 27, this is the Lord's Word. Let us begin to read. Jeremiah 27 and verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Thus the Lord said to me, make yourself straps and yoke bars and put them on your neck. Send word to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the sons of Ammon, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the envoys who have come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Give them this charge for their masters. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, this is what you shall say to your masters. It is I who by my great power and my outstretched arm have made the earth with the men and animals that are on the earth, and give it to whomever it seems right to me. Now I have given all these lands to the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. Now I have given them also the beasts of the field to serve him. All the nations shall serve him, and his son and his grandson, until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings shall make him their slave. But if any nation or kingdom will not serve this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, put his neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have consumed it by his hand. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your fortune tellers, or your sorcerers, who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you, with the result that you will be removed far from the land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But any nation that will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will leave on its own land to work it and dwell there, declares the Lord. Verse 12 says, to Zedekiah, king of Judah, I spoke in like manner. Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you and your people die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, as the Lord has spoken concerning any nation that will not serve the king of Babylon, says verse 13. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word today. I was 25 years old, serving my first church as pastor, small rural church in North Texas. We would have about 8 or 9 families that were involved, I guess, in that church. So when somebody wasn't there, I usually noticed. So I noticed one Sunday Mrs. Pete was there, but Mr. Pete wasn't. So I asked Mrs. Pete, I said, where's Mr. Pete today? Most of these were dairy farmers. And she said, she kind of leaned over and whispered. She said, he's calving today. I got to tell you, I had no idea what she was talking about. But I said, trying not to look foolish, and I said, oh, my goodness. Well, I hope that he feels better. And, man, that's got to be uncomfortable. And she just looked at me kind of strange. It wasn't until later I found out, because I'm not a country boy, you understand. I do like to wear cowboy boots and drive pickup trucks. And at that time, I'd only lived in Birmingham and in Fort Worth. And counting out later, there was a pregnant cow having a calf, and he was helping her out. But I decided, and maybe I understood, maybe at that time, that I would stop trying not to look foolish. In fact, I thought maybe it was one of my spiritual gifts, maybe that the Lord would use. Sometimes we're just going to look foolish in whatever we say and whatever we do. It was an agricultural community in which Jeremiah was told to put on a yoke, that an oxen or a cow or somebody's animal that would be tilling the ground, that he would be. But they had to be wondering why he would be wearing such a contraption around his neck. In fact, we may be wondering why. Why would the Lord ask him to do that, and why would he do it? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because we're going to kind of discover that a little bit. It may help us to understand, and we talk about yoke, and we're going to use that. It's used here. Jeremiah uses it. Even in Lamentations, he uses it. It usually has something to do with submission. Always maybe have something to do with submission. Jeremiah loved to use illustrations in object lessons. At least that's kind of the characteristic of Jeremiah. But in really, it was the Lord who used object lessons, and often for Jeremiah to learn a lesson or even to be able to share a lesson with others. Last week, Jeremiah, we read about Jeremiah going down to the potter's house, and there Potter was there and had a marred piece of clay, and he shaped it into something useful. And the obvious lesson in this for us is that we put ourselves into the master's hand. He will shape us for something useful and make us a usable vessel as well. This week, Jeremiah 27, some years have passed. The first exile has already occurred. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had come and he'd conquered Jerusalem, carried off thousands of people to Babylon. He's carried off the king to Babylon. The temple still stood at this time, though it had probably been damaged. Jerusalem still was standing, but it would not be long before Nebuchadnezzar's army would come back and it would finish what it had started. Exile even more people, destroy the temple as well as the city of Jerusalem. There'd be a further and final destruction. Well, God sends Jeremiah a message. Go to the five kings. Goes to these five kings we read about in verse 3 there just a moment ago, and tell them to subject themselves to the king of Babylon. Otherwise, they will be destroyed by sword, famine, or pestilence. But if they submit to the king of Babylon, they'll be able to come into their own land and be able to till their own ground, work their own field. But the rule of Babylon would not last for 70 years, is what they said. It would last for 70 years. Why these five kings that are mentioned here? Well, history records that these are the five kings that came to the king of Judah, the one that was put in place as a puppet king by Nebuchadnezzar, Zedekiah, though it was the uncle of the real king of Judah, that they were have an alliance in order that they might be able to fight against Babylon. But here's Jeremiah. He has something different to say. Later he would give the same message to the priests and the people of Judah. So that no one would miss the message, God told him, get a yoke of wood and the straps that go with the yoke and place it upon your neck. And as you walk around during the day or as you give these messages, wear this yoke in public. And he did so for a while. Let's admit the unusual message as well as the unusual object lessons. It seems counterintuitive to submit to the enemy of God's people and give that message. It was not like the people of Babylon had suddenly become a godly people and God was part of their life, but God was using the king and Babylon in order to bring judgment to the people of God, judgment to Israel and all that was taking place because of the disobedience that they had not obeyed God. And one day soon they would be judged for the sins. But for now, God was using Babylon. God was using Nebuchadnezzar to bring judgment to God's people. God, I don't know if you noticed, God even called Nebuchadnezzar his servant, though Nebuchadnezzar was probably unaware that he was being used as a servant of God. Now here, note, Jeremiah, he wasn't asked to wear a WWJD bracelet. He wasn't asked to wear a bracelet that said, love God, love Auburn, love the nations, or a VBS t-shirt, or a cross and a chain, but to wear a yoke made for a beast of burden around his neck. Maybe it was so people would ask, hey, Jeremiah, do you know you have a yoke around your neck? Yes, I do. Well, why are you wearing that yoke? Well, let me tell you, this is the message that God has given me. I believe it's time, church. I believe it's time for you and I to go public like no other time in which we've ever lived. It's time for us as a church, and we're going to be asked to go more public than we've ever been before, I believe, in the days and the months and the years to come. And I believe as individuals, it's time. It's time because of the world in which we live. It's time for the right time for our community. Let's go public with our faith in the living Lord and His desire to bring all people to Himself. This morning, I want you to make it personal. You've got some notes that are there. They're going to be on the screen here today. And so I'm going to ask you, why is it time for me, meaning you, meaning us, why is it time for me to go public with my faith? Well, first of all, because Jesus tells me to. Jesus tells me to go public. I guess Jeremiah's answer could be, when asked, why are you wearing this yoke? He could have just simply said, God told me. It's needed today that we go public as God's people, but we recognize it is not new. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus went on to say, you are the light of the world. You don't take that light, hide it under a bushel, but instead you put it on a lampstand for all to see, like a city that is set on a hill. It does not mean point to your good deeds so everyone can see and give you praise. It does to mean to let the light that has been shined on you, if you're a follower of Jesus, be sure to let that light shine on others by your actions and your attitudes and your words. And who gets the glory for that? Jesus, of course. Jesus got even more specific with us when he said, go ye therefore, Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, there are some obvious differences between what Jeremiah was asked to do and tell the nations and what we are asked to do and to tell the nations. We are not to tell the people that they need to submit to a foreign king. Instead, we're to tell people that they are submit to the one who is the King of Kings. All who do not submit, Jeremiah said, God told Jeremiah, all who did not submit would be taken off their land, exiled, or removed from the earth. Well, Jesus has told us, all who do not repent, all who do not submit to the King of Kings will be separated from God for eternity. Jeremiah first went to the five kings that we have mentioned to tell them the message. Submit, put on the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and live. Then Jeremiah went to the king of Judah, to Zedekiah, with a similar message. Sword, famine, and pestilence seem to be the common theme of all of those who do not listen to Jeremiah and follow the Lord's direction. So we read that Jeremiah first went to the five kings, and then he went to the king of Judah, and then it says that he went to the priest and to all the people. Jeremiah chapter 27, he was completing his task of what God wanted him to do as he went, verses 16 and 17. It says, then I spoke to the priest and all the people, saying, thus says the Lord God, do not listen to the words of your prophets who are prophesying to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city become a desolation? Jeremiah followed God's instructions and went public with his words and with the yoke around his neck to help people to understand. Are we clear that we have a message to share? A message about a Savior who has come to earth, born in Bethlehem, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again, in order that we might have life abundant and life eternal. It's a message that we know that we have to share. We also recognize he's given us, though, a different strategy. Jeremiah went to the kings of other nations, Zedekiah then went to the priests and the people. Note our strategy from the New Testament. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I am to begin, again, we're making it personal, I am to begin wherever God has planted me or wherever God sends me. Doesn't exclude other nations or surrounding communities. We know that we want to be involved in spreading the gospel wherever and all over the world, but it must mean that we are to begin right where we are. Why is that? Well, your mom and daddy probably told you, or you probably told your children sometime when they asked, why do I have to do this? Because I told you to. And in truth, that probably could be enough simply because the Lord told us to, but there's also because the message is counterintuitive to the world. The message is counterintuitive, or it is opposite to the world's message. How strange it must have sounded for God's people to hear a message from the prophet of God that said, go ahead, put down your weapons, go ahead and submit to this pagan foreign nation. After all, they knew about Moses. They knew how Moses, God had taken Moses, the Israelites, and had saved them from the Egyptians. They knew about Joshua, the great conqueror. They knew how God had used them and they had battled the Canaanites. I guarantee you they knew about David and Goliath, and they knew about David many times in which he fought the Philistines. They knew about Gideon, Elijah, and so many others that had victories. And now they were told to put everything down, follow the Babylonians. That's a hard pill to swallow. Why was this happening? Well, they've been disobedient to God. They listened to lies of false prophets. They worship foreign idols. This was God's judgment. Yet God still shows grace. Even now, if they would follow God's instructions, they could still stay on their land. They could endure the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, though it was going to be 70 years. But if they did not listen, submit to this foreign power, after the three generations, some others would rebuild. There'd be many more hardships and destruction to take place. Keeping it personal, you can say, and you may want to say it now in your head, I have a message to share that's the opposite of what people believe and think is right. And it is this, it's to leave everything else behind and follow Jesus. Not to make my will, my plans, what I can do for myself, your main priority. Submit, surrender yourself to Jesus. Even to understand that you are a sinner. And sometimes that's the message that we share. Your message, well, that might turn people off. But the Bible says, without the good news, without remission, without repentance, there is no remission of sin. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you mean to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Surely if a person is pretty good, I mean if their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, or maybe if they're religious, even if they don't really have a relationship with Jesus, surely they can make it to heaven. Listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. He wrote, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So the message is, if there's any other way to come to God or to make it to heaven besides faith in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, then Jesus has died in vain. I tell people often about the message we're to share about the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. It has the power to change people. It has power to give people life and everlasting life to all who believe. But to others, it is going to be offensive. It's not what they're going to want to hear. In fact, I'll tell others along with that. So the cross itself, we're told in the Bible, the cross can be offensive, so you don't have to be. In other words, you can tell the good news and you can share that truth in love. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus is offensive enough. I was texting recently to someone, at least I thought it was someone, and I was texting several people and let them know about an event or a class that we were having, inviting them to that. And on one of those messages that I got back, I just simply got back, said, I'm Muslim. I may have had the wrong number. But I texted back. I said, well, all are invited. And I got the text back, said, I'm not interested. And I said, I understand. Then I got the text back that said, how'd you get my number? And that's when I came, so, well, I may have the wrong number. Oops, sorry. However, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16. I waited. Silencio. I think I got blocked maybe after that. For you, think of it like this. Oh, I need to go public because people are going in the opposite direction. People do not know the truth. They're listening to false hope. They're not understanding. They need to be able to know the good news of the gospel. Sword, famine, and pestilence await spiritually if they do not surrender to Jesus. Why is it time now? I mean, why is it now time to go public? Because I do really care for others. This is you talking. I do really care for others. I mean you, because you've experienced the love of Jesus. If the love for others has not changed because of or since you've met Jesus, you might want to check and make sure you've not just gone through the motions, because it is an outpouring. It is what happens when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and as we grow in Him, then our love for Jesus grows. Certainly, because our love for Jesus grows, our love for the people that God cares about grows. It's an overflow of being with Jesus. But here's where many, even genuine followers of Jesus, begin maybe to stumble. Many are afraid if they get really grow close to Jesus and submit to Jesus in all things, God's going to ask you to do something foolish. I'm not saying He's going to, but we're afraid of that. Look at Jeremiah, case in point. Walks around for many days with a yoke around his neck. Why'd he do it? Well, God told him to. That's probably enough. The people were believing a lie. They needed to hear the truth. God used Jeremiah to get their attention, but there's also evidence Jeremiah cared enough for his fellow countrymen. No ask was too foolish. Yeah, sometimes, not just me, but speaking of making it personal, I might sound or look foolish. I hope I care for others enough. I'm willing to do that if that's what's required. There are other times, many times in the Bible, which people went public. Acts chapter 2, you remember there were 120 believers who were in the upper room after the ascension of Jesus, and they were to wait there until the Holy Spirit, and then suddenly a sound of a rushing wind came, tongues of fire rested on all believers, and all the followers of Jesus began to speak in other tongues. Not the kind of tongues that we often talk about in church or debate about sometimes, but it was there at Pentecost. People from all different nations and were coming, and they were coming to Jerusalem, so they began to hear the good news. They began to hear the 120 disciples in their own language, and they began to understand. But even those folks watching thought it was an incredible sight, so much so that they thought that the disciples, the 120 of them, were drunk. You remember Peter, he stood up. He said, "We're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. in the morning," which has always seemed strange to me that he had to explain. It's 9 a.m., so they wouldn't be drunk. How about because they're followers of Jesus? That would all be okay too. But then again, he preaches about Jesus, and he tells them what's happening that day. 3,000 were added to the kingdom. Remember, they'd been stayed to stay in the upper room until the Holy Spirit came. And then they were let loose. They came out for other people to see. Well, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit already in you. It's okay to come out of the upper room. It's okay to come out of our holy huddle. It's okay to be able to let other people know and be able to understand. They went public so people could understand as well. Some of you have been to a foreign country, perhaps, to where maybe you're in a place or a spot to where you think you're the only one that speaks English. Well, probably even some places in our country you may have thought that as well. My wife Kelly and I, about a decade and a half ago, we were on a trip, just a vacation type trip in another country, and most of it all was planned, but we decided for 3 days we'd do a little backpacking. And we knew the destination that we would go, but we just either walk or train or get on the bus or just somehow. We weren't sure how we were going to get there. We were much younger then and not that smart, maybe at that time. But so there are many times that we found ourselves with guidebook in hand and seemingly nobody spoke English. On one particular early evening, we were on a bus. We at least thought that it was probably heading the direction in which we wanted to go. And I was near the driver. I was talking to the driver. We want to go here, and we want to be able to be here. This is a public bus, you understand? And I never knew if he ever spoke English, but he kept nodding his head and kept driving. And we're thinking, oh, I wonder if we're ever going to get there. Wonder where we're going. Finally, a lady in the third row, maybe behind us, she spoke up, and she said, in English. We were glad to hear English. She said, "I know where you want to go, and I can tell you how to get there." So she told us how to get there. There's a hotel about a mile and a half, a couple of miles maybe, where they're going to drop us off. And then when she gets through telling us how to get there and the things about, then she says, "But I wouldn't go there after dark." It was already dark. We're not going to stay on the bus for about 12 hours, but then she told us how we might be able to safely be able to get there. Guess what? We made it. We're still here as well. Listen, it's time that you go public. Particularly because there are people who need to be able to hear in a word that they can understand. And you can say, "I can help you to get where you need to go. I can show you the way." You need not worry about sword famine, pestilence, spiritually or eternally, people need Jesus as their guide and protector. So say with me in your mind, I'm going public with my faith with the message of Jesus because I care for others. 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Behold, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So are we reborn? Are we born of God? If it is true, then we do have love for others, for those close to us and those that we don't know yet. But also, why now is it time to go public? Because the plan is for me to be different. Again, speaking for you, making it personal. The plan is for me to be different. As a follower of Christ, I'm no longer the same. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. Some of us are more peculiar than others, but we have a tendency to blend in. Let's do what everybody else is doing. Let's conform instead of what does the Paul tell us in Romans 12 that we need to be transformed. But God's plan for me to stand out, three parts of his plan for how I can go public: truth, holiness, and love. People need to know the truth. Jesus is the way and the only way. All of us are sinners in need of repentance, and people need to place their faith in Christ. The world's preaching a different message. Truth is relative, they say. What is true for you may not be true for me. Live and let live. Don't worry about what's true, just be tolerant of others. Worry more about the environment and global warming than about the future and the fires of hell. These are some of the messages of the world. I'm all about taking care of God's green earth. Through Jeremiah, God told the five kings. You might remember in verse 5. Summary of that is, I'm the one who created the earth, everything in it. I will do as I please with it, and I'll put it in the hands of whom I please. Jeremiah pleaded with them not to listen to the prophets, fortune tellers, sorcerers who say Babylon will be overthrown, all the people who have been taken exile will return, all the treasures of the temple will be brought back soon, for it would be another 70 years. What? Watch out for the preachers. Watch out for the world. Watch out for others who say only what you want to hear. In Jeremiah chapter 28, there's a false prophet by the name of Hananiah. He said he had a word from the Lord. Same year that Jeremiah went to the five kings, went to the king of Judah, went to all the priests and told the message that he had from God, this false prophet said to Jeremiah in the temple, in front of the priests and all the people, God says he has broken the yoke of Babylon. I will bring back the treasuries of the temple. The son of the king will return, and all the exiles will return in 2 years. God said it'd be 70. He said this in a very public place. You know, if you go public, maybe it will be a warning. Be ready, because other people will be watching. What do you think Jeremiah did when Hananiah said, it's going to be 2 years? Everybody's coming back. He said, amen. Look at Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 6. He says, and the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true, being back to this place from Babylon, the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. May the Lord do so. He went on to say, may the words you have spoken come true. He would say, that would be great if it is true, but that's not what God said. Then Jeremiah said, there's only one way to tell if a person is a true prophet of God. That's seeing if his prophecy comes true. That must have infuriated Hananiah. Some of you know the story there in Jeremiah chapter 28, because Jeremiah took the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and he broke it into pieces, as if he was saying Babylon yoke has been broken. Jeremiah 28:11 says simply, Jeremiah the prophet went his way. Then God came to Jeremiah again. Said, I want you to make another yoke. This time I want you to make it of iron that cannot be broken. For the five kings, the king of Judah, and all the people will surrender and serve King Nebuchadnezzar and the people of Babylon. And then God had a message for the false prophet Hananiah. Last two verses in Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 16 and 17 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you've uttered rebellion against the Lord. And in that same year, in the seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died. It's not all that often that God killed off that dramatically. Sometimes it'd be whole armies, though, that were enemies of Israel. You know what happened in the New Testament with Ananias and Sapphira when they lied about the gifts that they had given to the Lord? Hebrews 10:31 says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jeremiah said he had a word from the Lord. Hananiah said he had a word from the Lord. How are the people to know? How are we to know? Well, Jeremiah said, well, whichever one comes true, whichever one is truth, will happen. Well, how are we to know when people say this is the word of the Lord, or this is right, or that's right? How do we know? It is because we know the one who is the truth, and we have that which is true, the only full authority that we can hold in our hands, and that is the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. That which we need to be in so that we might be able to understand. You remember the Apostle Paul who went to Berea on his missionary journey, and he came, and the Bereans, the Jewish Bereans, when he began to talk about Jesus, said they searched the scripture to find out if everything he was saying was true. That's what we must do. We must search God's word. We must know the truth, grow in truth, and share that truth with others. God's plan also for me to stand out is holiness. It's holiness. Scripture says, or God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, we recognize we can only be holy because of the blood of Jesus. But do not discount the far-reaching, powerful effect of living a godly life as a light in a dark world. How important it is for Christ followers to be obedient to Jesus and His Word. It's important. Not because we live with a checklist of what's right and what's wrong, but because your life has the power to point people to Jesus. God may not ask you to wear a wooden yoke or an iron yoke, but He's asking me to live a holy life. So people may ask, what's different about you? And I need to be able to answer. You need to be, this is your answer. It's Christ living in me. Truth, holiness, and that which really sets us apart, unconditional Christ-like love for all people, which we've already talked about, and it's one of the reasons we need to go public for the people we know well and those we don't know well. Some of you right now, you are concerned about your loved ones, family members, close friends who either do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If this is all true, then you're saddened by the fact that they don't know Jesus or those who have fallen away. What can you do? Well, you can certainly know the truth and speak the truth. You want to be a person of integrity, so that when you say something is true, they're going to say, if he said it, I believe it. You want to be a person of holiness, living a godly life. It's okay to be genuine and make sure they recognize that we are all sinners that are saved by grace. And then you want to show unconditional love, how the doors will open of being able to point people close to you toward Jesus. Speaking of yokes, also in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27, it's an interesting verse. Jeremiah's the writer of Lamentations. He says, it is good for man to bear the yoke while he is young. Now, Jeremiah had to be thinking, after having to wear a wooden yoke and an iron yoke, he had to be thinking about the yoke that the Lord put around his neck when he wore this very thing as well. It's good for you to submit to Jesus while you're young. Some of us aren't young anymore. That's why it's good for you, regardless of your age or your season of life right now, to submit to the Lord Jesus. It's never too late. It's certainly never too early. Speaking of yokes, Jesus used this very imagery to call people to himself. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, I want you to hear me here, because oftentimes we carry burdens on us and we think, Jesus, take this burden away. And the Lord wants to take that burden away, but here's how he does it. Here how the burden that you're carrying really becomes lighter is because you take on the yoke of Jesus. You submit to him. You make his mission your most important mission regardless, and then whatever crises you're going through, either they become very small or you recognize that the Lord wants to use whatever you're going through for his purposes. How great a God we serve. It's time. If you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, time to go public is now. It's time. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, It's time that you call upon Him. Ask Christ to forgive you of your sins. Ask Jesus to come in. And then go public. Tell somebody that Jesus is your Savior. Or tell somebody that you want to know Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to be able to proclaim your name. We've done that publicly today. We've done that as we've lifted up prayers and praises and even read from your word. We pray, Father, that we'll have opportunity to do that in the future, even this week. Father, an opportunity to be able to share about the love of Jesus with others, point other people to Jesus, and that we may continue to grow in our love for you and our love for others, and more opportunities to be able to share. We pray, Father, now, and we dedicate our church this year and the year and the years to come, Father, that we'll even go even more public in order that more people might be able to know Christ, might have a growing relationship with Christ. And Father, we pray for anybody that is here, anybody listening today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today they know with confidence if they call upon you genuinely, asking you to forgive them of their sins, asking Jesus to come in, that they'll be saved. Thank you for an opportunity for this church to be able to proclaim once again the good news of the gospel. It's in the precious name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you please stand? We'll sing our song of commitment today. We encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life. Maybe things that we've talked about that you know you need to follow. Maybe something the Lord's laid upon your heart that you need to do. Maybe it has little to do with what we've talked about, but we know it all has to do with Jesus. And if you need to come today giving your heart and life to Jesus, or maybe you just like to talk to somebody about your faith, we'll be down here at the front. So our ministry team is down here. We'd be glad to talk with you further about that. If you're looking to join the church, become part of the Parkway Baptist family, one way you come, let us know. I'll be standing right here. You come talk to me, one of our ministers, and we'll be glad to talk with you just and tell you next steps from there. Our altar is open. If you'd like to come and pray or pray with one of us as we sing together, you come.